Books of the Bible. 1 Samuel tells the story of God's interaction with Israel through the prophet Samuel. When Israel asked for an earthly king, God gave them Saul, who, like Israel, drifted from God's law. So God commanded Samuel to anoint a new king, David, who was a man after God's heart. God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you one of the people who regularly sends wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org? Then I say thank you. This is Wretched Radio. If you run across anything wretched on the internet, and frankly, it's very hard not to, there's a lot of wretched out there. Would you please send it to idea@wretched.org? And if you're one of those faithful ones who regularly does, I appreciate it. I truly do. If you want to text us, without expecting a response, because Jimmy's just too crabby to want to talk to anybody.
That's not it. That's not it at all.
Why don't you respond to text then?
Because I can't.
Well, it's simple. You turn on the phone and then you just hit reply.
It's not on the phone, it's on the computer, and you bought the cheap package, Todd.
That just got turned real hard. 877-282-2337. But Jimmy can't respond. Not because he's not able. It's that the technology apparently for some reason doesn't let us. You know, I wonder if it has to do with like capturing people's numbers and what have you. More and more, are you getting more like text messages from people you didn't ask for a message from?
Yes.
That's increasing. It almost seems like we're breaking down that barrier. We've talked about that over the years. And every time we're like, no, we're not. Just because we've got somebody's phone number doesn't mean that they want to know that there's an incredible sale with things up to 75% off at FortisInstitute.org. We don't want to just send that to you without permission. But apparently, I think that's changed. Because even ministries that somehow have our data, we just get texts from them. But we haven't crossed the Rubicon on that one yet. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a youth pastor. Recently, I was approached by my pastor and his wife and told I needed to make things more entertaining. Oh boy. My main purpose in ministry is to see the youth saved and equipped with God's word. I was also asked to apologize to a youth parent for quoting Proverbs 20, verse 1. Do you have any advice for me or guidance?
He was done what by a parent who said what?
He was asked to apologize to a youth parent for quoting Proverbs 20.
All he did was quote it.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a little hard. You want me to apologize for what the Bible says in print? Okay. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. What? Okay. When you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Yeah. Might not be the kid who's in. No, mom and dad, I don't want to hear about not getting drunk because I'm an alcoholic. I wonder if mom and dad found that offensive. Zoinks, Scoob. This is precisely why youth group, in my estimation, shouldn't be silly. A youth group should be something where parents expect this is going to be biblical and this is going to be different. I think every church needs to make a decision, and most pastors have. Unfortunately, most pastors, I think, make the wrong decision. They take a look at the demographic in their community. They know what everybody's at, how many kids they got. And they know that if they can get the kids coming, mom and dad will come too. It is a tried and true formula, but it comes at a cost. Because kids naturally don't want to just sit there for an hour and hear a text exposited. They just don't. And so you need to get the support of the parents, and you probably won't in most instances. And then you're going to get members that are complaining, hey, how come we're not growing? How come, you know, down the street they've got a super duper park and the kids just can, wow, their parking lot is full. There's a lot of pressure. And that is why we have to ask, I think, a singular question. What does God want our church to be? What does he want? What are we about here? And I get it. There's competing church growth thinking. Because you've got to decide how much energy you're going to put into the kids and into the kids' programs and what you're doing in the kids' programs. and you could rationalize. I get it. And this is a modus operandi. I just disagree with it. I don't think that it's a heresy. I just don't think it's right. The thinking is, if we do these fun things for the kids, they come, the parents are happy, we have more people, they hear truth, perhaps get saved, and then they get plugged in. I get it. It's kind of the seeker-sensitive model, basically. I reject that. Why? Because God runs the church. Not bait and switch. Not amusing kids into the kingdom. What are we supposed to do? We preach the word in season, out of season. Here is what I want in a church service. Here are the elements that I, God, am regulating. And we let him dictate how the church is run. And if it grows, praise God. And if it doesn't, praise God. Dude, I would encourage you, try to persuade your pastor. I can't do that. You're gonna have to find a rodeo jockey to have fun with the kids. I want to instruct them and teach them, because these kids don't need entertainment when they are getting absolutely drubbed at school, in the neighborhood, on social media. If you're a mom and dad, you probably don't know how nasty it is in social media with the kids. I don't think that I fully grasp it, but I've been exposed to enough of it where I've heard young people talk about what people do to other students, what they call online bullying. You might be in the demographic where it's like, online bullying? You mean they're just saying stuff about you? Yeah, try getting bullied. Try getting hit in the face by the big kid at school for your entire third grade year. Well, we maybe minimize it, but the reality is it's pretty nasty stuff. What do they need from their church? To pretend like everything is happy? How's about diving in with them and dealing with it and teaching them how to love bullies and how to respond to filthy tweets that get sent to them? Or these people that are trying to lure you into sin, whether it's social media or in person. Or if you've done something that you wish you hadn't done, how do you deal with that? But these are the things that the kids are up against, and we're amusing them? Ooh, baby. 877-282-2337. This is finally to that young man. Dude, choose your course now. What kind of a pastor are you going to be? Choose it now. And then find the stream where you're not constantly going up against it. Sorry, 877-282-2337.
This is from Anna. Todd, my mother recently passed away. I'm about to start college. My dad has done a great job teaching me apologetics, and I plan to get involved with the BCM. I'm still afraid I might fall into temptation again, especially with so much freedom ahead of me. What advice would you give for staying alive in Christ in an environment so saturated with sin? And how can I find peace knowing my mother is not going to be with me through it?
Boy, two kind of distinct questions. First thing you should do is join a local church at your campus. Simple as that. Join it. Become a member. Even if you have joint membership, this is one of those dynamics where I think it's fine. Your home church and your campus church, because you're living away for an extended period of time, they will keep you safe. Meet with the pastor. Meet with leaders and say, hey, I'm here. I want to be held accountable. And they will if they're a good church. It is the safest thing that you can do. Did she say BCM?
Yeah, that's
Baptist College Ministry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the gang that invited us to come to Oklahoma University in October. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if you're a campus ministry and you'd like us to come to campus, I think talking about deconstruction in Oklahoma, mental health stuff in Atlanta, send a note to Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at FortisInstitute.org. Am I articulating everything
correctly?
I think so. Lee? Dalton at FortisInstitute.org, and we'll start a conversation about that. Join a local, join a good BCM. Great. But you must join a local church. Now let's talk about your mom. I ain't got nothing that makes it instantly feel better. Nobody does. Losing one's mom, even if you had a rotten mom, it's a loss, isn't it? So I can't say, do this and everything is going to be better. I don't have a magic bromide, and a single Bible verse won't even do that for you. But I could encourage you as you go off to university and you're dealing with the loss, you need to grieve that appropriately. That's a big loss. So don't feel bad about feeling bad. It's okay. Mourn. But start doing the things that will expedite healing for you. What are those things? Be a good servant of King Jesus Christ. Be reading your Bible, study him, stare at him. Be in a fellowship. There's that local church membership component that is so crucial for you. Be praying to God. Read about God's goodness. Read about God's love. Study heaven is a very good idea. If you haven't read Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven, we got any copies left at the Fortis sale?
Maybe.
Well, you can check it out yourself at fortisinstitute.org. I know people who have read that book and they're like, I can't wait to get there. And I would never want my loved one to come back now, knowing how amazing heaven is. And as you do those things, God will progressively heal your heart. And I'm sorry for your loss. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around, and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Today's number is 2727. This is Wretched Radio, not the lottery. The number 27 are the number of copies of Heaven that we have available at FortisInstitute.org. They are currently on sale. The book is by Randy Alcorn, and it costs how much, Jimmy?
$6.99.
Okay, that's still a lot for a book, but you'll never find it cheaper, honestly. And it's, I think those are hardcovers, if I'm not mistaken.
They are.
They're lovely books. I'm telling you, read the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn, and it's like, let's go. Let's go, Lord, if you could now, would be great. And if you've lost a loved one who's a believer and you know where they are and what they're doing, and if you know all of the delights that await them for all of eternity, it will help your heal your broken heart. FortisInstitute.org, Heaven by Randy Alcorn. His other book, Safely Home. Oh, man. Do we have those there? Do we have any of those available?
I'm looking. I think so.
We've got some stuff left. I don't think anything is less than 75% off. It's just really, even if you don't watch it or read it, you will save money if you buy it. Okay, I know that actually isn't true, but isn't that kind of how we operate sometimes? 87. We got any copies?
110.
Oh, what?
749.
110. Here's a challenge. I'm not kidding.
Buy 100 right now.
Okay, let's go with it. Buy 100 of them. Why not? No, get the book. Read it. I'm telling you, it will grow you. And if you think, oh, fiction, I don't do fiction. I don't either. But I'm telling you, that book, for me, it's right up there with Pilgrim's Progress. It's life-changing in that you get a different perspective about Christianity based on the zip code, specifically China. And it gives you a perspective on American Western evangelicalism that just causes you to go, oh, we're so not serious. Oh, we play so many games when the world is so serious. It'll change you. And it will encourage you to be more faithful and more courageous. Give it a try. It's theology put to fiction. Not that Randy changes the theology so that it's not true. He's masterfully woven theology into a narrative that is so compelling. I challenge you. FortisInstitute.org. And when you're done reading that, or while you're reading it, because it might take you a long time, send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I volunteer in our local jail and minister to the inmates. What does it mean to do the Great Commission and make disciples? I go into the jail and present a message around a piece of scripture, but I don't feel like I'm fulfilling that part.
Then to go and make a disciple, it requires preaching the gospel. All right, sorry for this. The booklets that we have, they don't have staples in them, so you can bring them into prisons. I think we're out of The Man Who Split Time.
Yep.
Okay, but I Don't Stub Your Toe is a perfect gospel present. Bring it and give it to them. I know people who bring they dole them out by the hundreds in prisons because it's a really clear gospel presentation. In order to become a disciple, one must hear the gospel. By the way, the teaching that you're doing, that is great. That is awesome. Just make sure that when you're in there, everybody knows the gospel. Don't assume that they do. That would be kind of go past go. No, it would be collecting $200 before you pass go. That's what I was trying to say. You got to make sure that they actually know the gospel. Then you can teach them stuff because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And they can't apply it if they're not saved, which, by the way, is also a principle of biblical counseling. You can't counsel somebody biblically if they're not saved. Otherwise, you're giving them life hacks and moralisms. The Bible isn't intended to be that. It's intended to transform you. And the only way that it can is if you actually believe it first. 877, and way to go, whoever you are. 877-282-2337.
You know how much those booklets are? I just realized how much they are.
They're cheap.
40 cents?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, they're 40 cents.
Wow.
And
I'm going to buy some.
Here's another challenge for you. Get some and go to a university campus. You'll give them out. So get a case. You're going 240. I'll never. Hours gone. You just walk around. Here you go. Hey, make sure you read this. Oh, did you get one of these? I'm telling you, they will fly out of your hands and you will go home clicking your heels for just 40 cents, fortisinstitute.org.
All right, this is from Deborah. Todd, I just watched a video by you about the Lord's Supper and church membership. I have not joined the church I'm currently attending because I've been wrestling with the unbiblical sinner's prayer that the pastor sometimes offers to the people at the end of service. Should I be attending this church?
Depends. That would not be an automatic disqualifier. So let's start there. Let's start on the bright side of this. I don't know about you, but I have a propensity. It's like, I'm looking for the problem, and that's what I'm going to focus on. Let's start with all the stuff that they're doing right. Are they small O orthodox? Are they square on the essentials? Are they preaching truth? Even if it's not rich and robust, are they preaching truth? They're not telling lies. They're not deceiving and misleading. Okay, then you got yourself a decent church. Now they're doing something that you don't agree with, like the sinner's prayer. And I join you in that disagreement, but I don't think that that disqualifies that church from being a possibility for you. So having started there with an attempt to stay more than go, which I think should be, that really should be our posture. I want to stay. I don't want to go shopping. I don't want to look for greener pet. I want to be here. Start with that attitude. It'll keep you from shopping and bopping. But having said all of that, are there other things that are happening that sometimes the sinner's prayer is indicative of? Where maybe the gospel has been altered a wee bit, where it is no longer about the wrath of God being assuaged by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died and rose again, if it's not about repentance and faith, dying to self, submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ, that oftentimes, not always, but that oftentimes will be another one of the aspects of a church that invokes a sinner's prayer. That starts to get a little bit more like, okay, are they serious about godliness? Are the elders serious about shepherding you? And as you examine those things, then I think you can make the conclusion, because they are small or orthodox, if nothing is wonky, then you can certainly stay, and you're just going to have to put up with it, like we all have to do in church. Everybody has to put up with something. People just do stuff I wouldn't do, and they've got parts of it that I don't really particularly care for. But then we all grow together too. Now, having said that, could you look around you in your community to see if there's a better church that's like, whoa, like wow, this is going to change my family? Yeah, you can do that. But make sure that your posture is one that says, I want to stay. It would have to take something pretty spectacular for you to jump ship just because the church says the sinner's prayer. Final note, have you talked to him about it? Have you shared it with him? There's a number of videos. I know that we've done them here on Wretched. I know Ray Comfort has talked about that. Maybe you could find a video that wouldn't be offensive to him, that maybe would persuade him. You know, we don't need to do a sinner's prayer. Somebody could get saved right in their chair. God doesn't need somebody to walk an aisle. And we've studied the history of this before. That is a practice that was invented, the anxious bench, Charles Finney, 1850s. It's a modern day evangelistic tool that is used to get a lot of people to come to an altar and say a sinner's prayer. Is it a sin to do that? Well, trusting that everything behind it is motivated rightly and nothing heretical is sent. No, it's not a sin, but so often it's so manipulative. And it's become such a patter. In the silence of your own heart, with your eyes closed and your head bowed, if you think you need Jesus, I want to see you slip that hand up. Anybody going to slip up that? Slip? Do I see some slipping? Anybody slipping up there? Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. And then the music starts, and then they're encouraged to come down. People have been saved during that. There's no question about it. Is that something that is described, defined, or mandated in the Bible? No. Is it just fraught with all potential for manipulation? Yeah, it is. But if your church is doing it in an earnest effort to see people get saved, I don't think you need to go. Jimmy, would you advise scooting from a church like that?
I would. It would have to.
It would drive you nuts every week, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. But if it came on the backside of the gospel, a complete gospel presentation, I'd be careful to run out immediately. But, you know, there are also different layers there, too, because you can also say it gives false sense of salvation.
Well, look, it's fraught with all kinds of problems. Yeah. But again, depending on the pastor, all of the things that are said, if it's done in earnest without any heresy, you're going to have to come up with a really compelling reason to say it's time to go. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.